Thank you very much to Mike Stent and to Logan Stanifer, the people behind the glass. Logan's answering the calls at 800-859-0957. Mike is spinning the dials. Thank you very much. Actually, they're slide faders. They're not spinning dials. That's old radio.
I was just going to say, how old are you?
Old radio. Those RCA pots.
I bet you they used to have tubes back then, too, right?
They certainly did, young man. So yes, they did.
Tape. And tape cartridges. I remember when, you know, they just did the
J.P. McCarthy Memorial Show,
Twice, I guess, this last week.
Yep.
I saw it the one
public
time.
Radio, on public television,
and I remember going up to the 22nd floor,
right.
And J.P. McCarthy's putter was behind the door of
Studio D.
Remember that?
I was definitely remembering that.
And people said, don't touch it. That's Paul W. You know, that's J.P. McCarthy. So.
And Paul had come in. Paul had just come in after
Paul
that.
Was
but
in
I
that
didn't realize that
nobody
it was
touched it.
6 weeks from the beginning of his diagnosis to the time that he died. Yeah. I didn't realize it had been that fast. We're talking about J.P. McCarthy and the memorial to him. Wonderful program on public television in Detroit. Okay, hey, it's your turn. 800-859-0957 is the number. Chuck, Ben, and Linda, here we go. Chuck from Grosse Pointe Farms, thank you for being so patient. How can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. I have an older Toshiba laptop with Windows 7 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm using, Mozilla Firefox browser, it'll lock up on me after I try pulling up Yahoo Mail. And in the lower left-hand corner, there's like a statement that'll appear. It'll say read, and then it has s.yimg.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried clearing out the cookies and refreshed the browser, and then I tried uninstalling it and reinstalling the browser, and I'm still getting that nasty little statement, and it freezes up on me.
Okay, did you get that, the statement? Read that statement again that you get.
Okay, it says read, and then it's space, and then it's s.yimg.com.
Yeah, you see that in a lot of browsers. That's it's a programming command. It does sound like there's something wrong with your Firefox browser. But I don't think it's that message is what's causing it, because I have it on. I see it from time to time on my. It's just how it's directing the internet traffic. I called the domain once and asked them, and they said it was something. It wasn't all that important. But now from you locking up, now that does sound like you have something wrong with your obviously your Firefox. Now have you tried using Chrome or Internet Explorer? Does that work okay?
I did switch to Chrome, and it does seem to be functioning.
Yeah.
It's just, I got used to the other one and prefer to use it if I can, but I suppose if I have to, I'll get used to the other one.
Well, one of the things we often tell people on this show is to put two browsers on.
Yeah.
Precisely for instances like this, where that way you can switch to the other one and see if, as you said, you're not experiencing the same thing, then it's most likely concentrated in the browser itself.
Correct. And what you could do is just uninstall Firefox.
Good point. Right.
Go to Internet Explorer, download the newer version, make sure your Java's up to date and your Flash and all that good stuff, and then run a Malwarebytes or a quick scan and make sure you're nice and clean. And then once you uninstall Firefox, there's a program called CCleaner that we like to use, and you can find that at what's the best place to get those kind of devices is at like majorgeeks.com. Majorgeeks.com, and then it's a safe download link.
Very good point.
So whenever I'm searching for one of those utilities like CCleaner or Malwarebytes, I put Malwarebytes, MajorGeeks, and I know it'll bring me to their site, and it's a safe download.
Am I right? Bleeping Computers?
Bleeping Computer is my favorite. I go there, and I feel trusted there.
Normally, I would say that, but I've noticed that Bleeping Computers is getting a little commercialized, and they're changing a little bit. There's some pop-ups.
They're all going that way, I noticed, though.
MajorGeeks, though. They're the hardcore guys. They're going to keep you straight and on the right path.
All right.
And then run a cleaner. Once you uninstall Firefox, run a CCleaner. That will go through and really clean out all the junk that's left over. And then try to re-download Firefox, the new version, and see if that helps.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Welcome.
Thank you very much for your call. Again, the number 800-859-0957. Let's go to Linda in Livonia. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Linda, how can we help you?
Thank you very much. I'd like to buy a computer. It's the first time I will have ever purchased one. And I've kind of looked at them at different stores, but I tell you, I get overwhelmed and intimidated when I go in there. So I don't know. I'm just wondering what you would suggest. I just want a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing special.
Right. Yeah, there are plenty of. Matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, we did a show on buying a laptop, and I had gone on to Amazon and found a Lenovo 15-inch with a touchscreen and you know, pretty good specs on it.
I think 550.
No. That was like three.
No, the series model number 550. I think it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like three. What was it? You remember that, Cal? It was like $300 something.
$399, I think it had an.
Yeah, it was $399.
You said AMD A10 in it, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a lower processor. There's a lot of things. What basic advice would you give, rather than handing out here, buy one of these? What would you say, Cal?
Well, the first thing I would do is that if you're going to buy a laptop, you need to drive over to the store.
Okay.
And whichever one you want to go to, Best Buy, Micro Center, even if you want to go to a place like Shane's Outfit that he has, and you need to touch it. You need to touch it. You need to look at the screen, see how it looks, the whole shoot and match, and get a feel for it. And then go to a place that has multiple machines, you know, at least 5 or 10, 3 or 4 different manufacturers, and shop them, look at them. And when you go to see these, I'm going to tell you go make it a double trip.
Okay.
The first trip you go there, do not take your purse in the store.
Okay.
And I want you just to shop. I want you to see what's there. And then after you see it, kind of digest it and decide which one you really, really like.
Okay.
Then go back in. At that point, you could say you've gone from 5 different brands down to 3. So now you're gonna make an educated choice based upon you already know what you want.
Uh-huh.
Now you can negotiate price with the guy that's going to be out on the floor trying to get you to do this and that.
Okay. Do you suggest some like ABC Warehouse or something like that to go to? Or
Personally, no. I would go to some place that specializes in computers rather than having people who sell a whole bunch of electronics.
Well, I mean, you don't buy your fresh fish at Aco Hardware.
That's right.
Okay, so let's leave them to the dishwashers and the refrigerators, and let's leave the technology to the people that do this every day.
And could you give me a name of a couple places that I might be able to go to?
You know, there's lots of big box companies. You know, there's Micro Centers, there's Best Buys, there's the big ones out there, which you may not get the personal one-on-one that you may need, especially buying a computer. Or you can find, you know, we have it listed on our site, Internet Advisor's site, the trusted local small family business run operations near you in where you're at.
She's in Livonia.
Livonia. There's plenty of them out there.
And Shane is not saying, but Shane has his own. You have your own business out in Sterling Heights.
Sterling Heights and Shane are 19 Comtech Services, where you're going to get a little bit one-on-one. You know, it's not high pressure. We're technicians. We're not salesmen. We're not selling you a car. We want to show you what the laptops do. And kind of get you, find the right one for you.
Okay,
because
wonderful. Well, thank you very much for the advice.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. That, by the way, we did a whole program on that a while back about buying a computer. And if you look at, go to internetadvisor.net and look at one of the back podcasts that we did. I'm right now, it's escaping my mind what day that was.
About 4 weeks ago, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. So we did that to help people like yourself to find a new computer. I don't want to sell you a brand because it's not always the case.
It's a hard thing finding a computer nowadays. I mean, especially for people that really don't know a ton about them. You know, you go into a place and you see computers that are, you know, $500, $600, and then you find them, you see them online at Walmart for $399. You kind of wonder, well, why is it one price and not the other? Well, you've got retail units, you've got business units. And I always try to get people into that business grade model.
Yeah, if she goes to internetadvisor.net and on our homepage, she scrolls down to the 4th article. It says Choosing Your Next Laptop. Take a look at that article and the podcast that came with it, and that'll tell you something about how to go about buying your next laptop.
An old friend of ours from Adrian is coming up next. Ben, the gentleman farmer, I believe, will be talking with him and with you as well. Give us a call with your question at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. We'll tackle your question coming up on the Internet Advisor. We have lines open right now, and a fair warning for you. We got about 20 minutes left until we sign off. This is the time people will come thundering in with all sorts of questions. Get in now before the big crowd comes, all right? 800-859-0957. An old friend of ours, Ben from Adrian. How are you doing, Ben? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
I'm doing fine, Foster. How about you?
I'm doing much better this week than I did last week.
Well, good.
Not here because I was a little under more than a little under weather. I've been run over by flu, but I'm glad to be back here with the gang and with you as well. Now, this is kind of a downtime for you, or you're not in a tractor anywhere right now, right?
No, not right now.
You wanted to talk to us about Windows 10.
Yeah, I'm a couple comments on it, and then I got a question.
Sure.
I'm on a place called Egg Talk, which is a website that is oriented towards agriculture.
Egg Talk, okay.
And there's several forums on there, and one of them is computers, and one of them is precision ag, a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's been some discussion about Windows 10 on that.
Oh, okay.
Egg Talk.
Okay.
And some people get along fine with it, and the next person doesn't. And we're talking about, like, a program, for instance, as an example, xyz.com
mm-hmm.
or xyz.exe, something like that.
Right.
And one person, it works fine for, and the next one, it don't. I'm wondering why that is.
Okay. Why is it that between version, well, you got one version of Windows 10, why is it that some people will have it running without any problems and other people will encounter all sorts of problems? Any thoughts?
It's just like every other thing in life. I mean, you probably, on your farm, you probably got a John Deere tractor. There's probably people who swear by John Deere, say they're, you know, the best thing on earth, and it works fine for them all the time. And there's another group down the road says, yeah, I wouldn't touch a Deere, I'll do a Husqvarna instead. Everybody has a different experience with it based upon their skill set. And I think sometimes we hear a lot about folks who are having problems with a particular product, but you don't really hear from people who are having a good experience because they don't have anything to complain about.
One of the other things, too, I think, guys, is, and we read this a couple hours ago when we started, a letter from somebody who had Windows 10 suddenly installed. They didn't want it installed, but all of a sudden, they were having problems with some of the hardware, like mm-hmm. their sound card or their video
common.
Card didn't work.
It's common.
And I think what happens is that sometimes the operating system clashes with what you've got as your hardware on board, your sound card or lack of sound card or your video card, et cetera.
Well, an awful lot of times you just have to upgrade the drivers to work with 10 because that sound card came out when there was no Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have a driver for Windows mm-hmm. 10. You just have to go to that site, download the driver, and it's fine. So Pete, sometimes it's just people don't know that.
Just a driver.
And the biggest thing that I found out about upgrades, and this transcends across every operating system, I don't care whether you're Apple, whether you're using Windows, whatever it is. We live in a society nowadays where we want instant gratification. I want to click that button. I want to be up and running. Nobody really takes time to prep themselves for an upgrade. Did I do a backup? Did I check my hardware to make sure it was correct? What do I need to do this? Do it before you even do that upgrade. So if they charge into it, then they have experiences that are disturbing or disruptive in that particular case.
And I think when Windows 10 came out initially, wasn't it, Shane, that they had, it ran a diagnostic of your system?
Correct.
Does it still do that?
Not really. It's not telling you that, but I think it does. You know, it says gathering information.
It does, yeah, right
at the very
front.
Beginning, it says gathering information, so it's doing it, you know, but... Even if your hardware's wrong, I haven't noticed where it says, hey, you know what, your video card is a little older. I've never seen that error, you know, pop up unless you had, you know, 512 of RAM or something.
Ben, the other thing that strikes me is, and you as a farmer, we've talked about this at other times, have specialized software, right?
Correct. And there's a variety of different manufacturers of it.
Right. And I think what may happen is that people have been used to using some very specialized things that look at commodity prices or hydration or whatever it may
be. CAD operators have this where they have their old version of CAD CAM they can't use on the new version. The only way you're going to know is beta test it. Download a machine that you don't care too much about it, load it up and see if it works.
Or contact the manufacturer of the software and say, hey, does this run on Windows 10?
Yeah, good question.
Well, the thing
or just
of it
go
is,
to the website.
Some of the software says they run on Windows 10, but then there's users that have trouble with it. And others that don't.
Yeah.
Well, Ben, those users that may have an outdated, like Gary said, an outdated video driver, an outdated sound card, and that'll do it. I mean, I've got a computer at home that I've got a really expensive sound card on my machine because I do a lot of media. And every time there's an update, I've got to reload that sound card because it's just not compatible with 10. And yeah. I have to live with that until they fix it, which is okay.
Or it could be the case of the matter is that, yeah, that software will run on 10, but they didn't read the instructions that said you have to increase the amount of memory you have in your machine in order for it to run properly on 10.
Ben, did you have another question?
Well, yeah, I got another question. I've heard, and on this same Ag Talk thing, some of them claim that Windows 10 calls home, and some of them claim that it don't, and those that claim that it does says you can't undo it. It's taught.
Call when they say call home. What do you mean, Ben?
Well, call back to the
sends information
Microsoft
back
to tell them what you're doing.
Well, it doesn't tell them what you're doing, but it does take and find out if you have the latest version and all the updates, and it'll push out the updates.
I think, in a sense, it sends back maybe the information about what your configuration is, so that if you've got things like an update coming or something like that, it will or won't fit, and they can signal that.
Yeah, it's not saying, beyond that, I don't know. Ben emailed Carl about this new fish recipe.
No, they don't care. They don't care because Microsoft doesn't make any money doing that.
Now,
Microsoft
Google
makes money doing some other things. That's
Google,
what they care about.
Google's a place I'd never use.
Okay, good for you.
Hey, Ben, thanks for calling. We want to make sure, by the way, in the future, we're hoping to have Ben back in here in our studio to talk about some of the incredible technology that's involved in farming nowadays. So, Ben, thanks to you.
Okay.
Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Take care. That's Mr. Ben Carpenter from Adrian. Love to have him on with us.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to Bob from Dearborn. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
This is Bob?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, a while back, Comcast was saying, you know, they give you a speed boost, and I was getting about 30 down and 6 up, and then they said, well, you got to get a new router. I think it's a DOCSIS 3, and I was getting like 70 down and 12 up, and then the other day, I've been doing some freelance work from home. I mean, I'm seeing speeds of like 1, you know, in the middle of the day for a download, and it's like, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. My neighbor also works from home, and I haven't upgraded my cable wires, you know, for a long time. So I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on because my speeds have deteriorated so much, you know.
Okay.
So deteriorating that much, there's probably something wrong, and you need to contact Comcast about it or Xfinity.
And before,
but it is a shared shared download, right? So what ends up happening is if your neighborhood is using more bandwidth,
right,
you're going to get less.
Would Comcast Business be better? I mean, do they guarantee speeds?
No, well, they should be. I mean, they should be having guaranteed speeds right now as a consumer, period.
Well, but they don't.
They don't.
They don't in their fine print.
But Comcast Business will guarantee you speeds.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, you pay a little bit more for it.
Right.
But, you know, like with my business, we've got a line coming in straight for the phone. We've got a line coming in straight for the internet. We've got a line coming in straight for the Wi-Fi, the hotspot.
Right.
Three separate lines, so they're not interfering or bandwidth sucking on the others.
But, Bob, to see that dramatic of a decrease, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Contact them first. Now,
I'll let them diagnose it then.
Yes.
Before you give them a call, though, Bob, you may want to just try something simple, and it won't resolve everything, but it'll give you an indication that will help you feed more information that Gary's talking about back to Comcast. Power off the router.
Okay. Yeah, I do that every night anyway.
Okay, and if your speeds don't pick up after that, then you probably need to contact them. There might be something wrong either with the router or maybe the segment that you're sitting on.
Okay. Great.
Now,
Did you connect to anything?
Whoops.
Did you connect anything? If he's using a wireless router and he connects some sort of older device.
Oh, yeah.
It'll step back. Your wireless router speeds will step back to the oldest device you have.
That's
so
very
if you
important
have,
thing. Yep.
You know, somebody that's on a...
So if you got a kid in the house using an iPhone 3,
yes. Right?
Yes. Shane, you mentioned that once before in a program.
But he's one. There.
Yeah, no, so that's wrong. But I'm just for anybody else that's noticing, you know, some degradation in speed, a lot of it depends on who's connecting to your device.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that interfere with Wi-Fi. You know, a lot of EMF in the area.
That's right.
And we had that last week at the Gamers for Giving event. Had high-speed internet and Wi-Fi all dedicated to us, but because of all the EMF that was going on, bad.
Okay. Jim and Gary, Jim from Allen Park, Gary from Ann Arbor, we'll be back in just a minute to answer your questions here on the Internet Advisor. I'd like to thank the folks who have been part of this marathon sprint, for me certainly, after a week of being in bed and down with the flu. This has been quite a program here, but thank you very much for all of you who participated. A great time. Gary, thank you. And
certainly my pleasure.
Cal, thanks for coming in. And Shane, thank you for joining us here. Ed
is
down in Florida at spring training with Tina, his wife, and enjoying that, I hope.
I think he's playing center field.
That'd be cool. And we'll be back next week as well. Again, we're normally on from 4 to 6, and this week just had the pleasure of having 3 hours. Thanks again to Mike Stett, and to Logan Stanifer, my granddaughter, who's answering the phones there. She's that pleasant voice.
Do you know that she was on? She was talent?
Yes, she was. Thank you very much. I was fun.
She did a great job.
Logan, you did a great job. Yes, I enjoyed listening to that. After I edited the podcast, I was enjoying listening to her contribution to women in technology.
That's right.
She's a new generation. Let's go to Ed from Warren. Ed, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you? Good afternoon.
And thanks for being there for all of us.
Delighted.
It's our pleasure.
What happened yesterday, I had Comcast increase my speed from 101 to 150. And then I had this super important document that I was working on and went to print it out, and all the paragraphs in Microsoft Word were jumbled up.
Hmm.
So the first paragraph became the eighth paragraph, et cetera.
Oh, I got you.
Was it because of the increased speed, or is there something else? That never happened before, and I have a super good printer.
It was probably pure coincidence that it happened on the same day you had your Comcast speed change.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would probably reload the printer driver on your computer, remove it, and then reload the printer back in again.
And if it happens again.
Yeah,
right?
And then try
it. Happen again.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're not necessarily, it's kind of like they happen at the same time, but they're not necessarily causally linked.
Yeah, it's not like the old typewriters where they had to slow your typing down or you would get them, the keys would get stuck. Yeah. Wait a minute, there's only a couple of us that know that.
I remember it, so let's not
I
go
do.
On to that one.
I do. I get going too fast, and all of a sudden it was this clack, 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 and it was a bunch of
I want to throw in a good word for Dragon.
Oh,
good.
Yes.
Good.
I had so much success with that, and that's how I was able to retype that whole document. I just put it on Dragon and just spoke into it, and it typed it out.
Tell people what Dragon is.
Dragon is a software that you type into it. I mean, you speak into it, and it types it right in front of you, almost as fast as you speak.
Yep. I know doctors who use that to dictate their patient records because it is extremely
And the
effective.
Accuracy rate is, I'd say, 95, 96%.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can read the doctor's printing that.
Yes.
There's side benefits.
Ed, thanks so much for giving us a call.
Okay, thank you for being there.
All right, have a great weekend. All right, let's go to Jim from Allen Park. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, Foster, how are you?
Good. How can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Well, once again, this is a Windows 10 situation, a story, where I also woke up and found that Windows 10 was installing on my laptop.
Uh-huh.
And I figured, okay, I guess it's just time, right?
Yeah, I got you.
And the other observation I have is every single time I boot up my laptop, and this is why I think some folks, or at least I think that maybe, they're communicating back to a source or whatever, is that there is a ever-changing screensaver that you click, right click, and then you go into your screen where you type in your password to get into your computer.
So they download that screensaver. I don't know if they do them individually. My guess is they do a bunch of them at a time.
Because every single time I boot up, it's different, and it's like, all right, I guess, Robin Williams, Nanu Nanu, so thanks.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, remember him fondly in that role. What do you think of Windows 10 otherwise?
It's good.
Okay, Andy, you've been a Windows 7 user for quite a while?
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get used to it?
Well, it's happening even as we speak. It's still getting used to.
Okay. But generally speaking, you are finding it useful.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay. All right, good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's take one last caller, and then we're going to wrap things up here in just a moment. Gary from Ann Arbor. Wait a minute. I have a Gary from Ann Arbor in studio. Is this his doppelganger? Hi there, Gary.
Greetings. I also want to say thanks for the service you guys provide. It's phenomenal.
Sure.
The question I had sort of was, I set my machine so they won't upgrade, thanks for that tip to one of the gentlemen. I bought a product as a software. I didn't intend to become the product, in that Windows 10 wants to search my software endlessly for my whatever it is that I do.
Okay.
My question is this. Can we set up Windows 7 as a virtual machine on top of maybe a Linux variety, and that way it would be fixed, and I don't have to worry about upgrades. It would just work, as it's designed to do.
Cal is giving a vigorous shake of his head.
If you do set it up in a virtual machine, which you can do, that'd be great. Just never connect it to the Internet.
Hmm.
Because you're not going to be able to, as soon as you go out on the Internet, Windows is going to go, oh, look at that. Why don't we just send him Windows 10?
How do you do that on top of a Linux? This is something that's foreign to me. I know Ed plays with Linux and loves Windows.
Well, if you're using any program that allows you to create a virtual machine, which is just basically making a software PC, and then that PC is living inside the machine, then you just load an operating system against it. So it would load up, and everything would be hunky-dory and running, but as soon as it starts talking to the Internet, it would say, hey, guess what? I'm a Windows machine. And Microsoft will like, have some 10.
There's probably ways, if you use Ubuntu or something.
It was a thought.
I was just thinking there's probably some ways to do that if you use Ubuntu or something like that. You probably can figure out how to stop it from installing Windows 10 over Windows 7.
Okay.
You have to play around with it.
That is a field.
Virtual box you could use, probably.
Or the other thing, you would just set it up on the virtual machine and then go in and flick all those switches that the other gentleman talked about so it wouldn't take it.
Yeah, so you can do that.
All right?
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Gary, for your call. Guys, this has been, what a program this has been. I want to make sure, however, Cal, before we leave, that you've got an important announcement about a meeting coming
up tomorrow. March 20th at the Birmingham Temple. First day of spring, we'll be having our Mac group meeting like we always have. Now, this one's really special because guess what? You don't have to use a Mac to appreciate it. We're going to have Bryce Dennison. He's the owner and instructor of Midwest Photography Workshops. He'll be there, and he'll be showing you how to improve your travel and landscape photography.
Ooh.
And that starts at 3 p.m. tomorrow. At 2 o'clock, we have our Genius Table open up. So come on out, whether you're Windows or Mac, we'll fix you up with photography information you'll love, and maybe we might even convert you over to the right side of the world. But at any rate, though, please come on out. It's Mac Group Detroit, and you can find out all the information at internetadvisor.net, linking to macgroup.org.
Thanks so much for being here, Cal. And Shane, thank you so much for being out here. You have got another program you're doing on gaming.
I'll tell you what, I've got a busy weekend. Yeah, so on Sunday I do a live show from 9 to 11. You can find us on Twitter, Pwned Radio. That's with a P, P-W-N-E-D, radio. Or
Podcast Detroit.
Podcast Detroit or PwnedRadio.com. Anything. If you're a gamer, I don't care if you're playing Solitaire or, Aliens versus Planets or Plants, you're a gamer, so you'll enjoy the show.
All right, Shane Hammond, thanks so much for being with us.
Welcome.
Your store, Comtech Services in Sterling Heights.
Comtech Services, Sterling Heights, 19 and Shaner.
Look for him there. Great shop out there. My wife's computer comes from there, and they're great at helping you with all of the problems. Gary Baker, thank you so much.
We'll be here next week, 4 to 6.
Next week. Look for us, 4 to 6 o'clock. It's the Internet Advisor, Logan Stanifer. Thank you for producing, and Mike Stett, thank you for your engineering skills. And for you, don't forget, Sunday night, go to internetadvisor.net. Program notes will all be posted there, and you'll be able to listen to or download the podcast of today's program. Or look for us at podcastdetroit.com. Take care.